Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, November 11th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right, thanks, Michelle, for the wonderful intro, and welcome Sunday night edition of Weigh In Sports. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Hey, I sent the link out for the show, and there was a problem with it looked like at first, so if you're having problems with the link, go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino and jump online and join us in the chat room. But a wild weekend in sports, Trey. So much happened, and actually all sports, there's a lot of news going on. How's everything going with you?
Doing well, man. Can't complain.
Well, we have a BCS shakeup, and I'm so excited to hear everyone call in and in the chat room to discuss the new BCS rankings and also some scenarios that, you know, everybody thinks the SEC is out. They very well could be, Trey. And that's what we want to find out tonight from our listeners. Is there a chance that there's some way the six-time defending champions could come back in, being either Georgia or Alabama, and get back into this game? But a lot going on. I think you hit 8 out of 10 games yesterday in college. I hit 7, and I haven't kept up with the NFL as much on my win-loss record today, but I think it's good. So happy Veterans Day to you tomorrow. I just want to get that out of the way, and thank you for the service to the country.
I appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it. So, happy Veterans Day to all our veterans.
Yeah, all the veterans out there. Okay, Trey, did you have any problems with the link getting on?
No, I didn't at all. I go off the one that gets emailed out, so
okay.
From the Blog Talk Radio site, so no problems for me.
All right, well, the chat room's got a few starting to get in there. Sonia let me know we had a bad link. For some reason, it didn't copy over right. But, God, what a weekend. And to start it off, you know, the L.A. Lakers fire their coach, 5 games into the season, Trey, and all of a sudden I'm hearing Phil Jackson's the name that could take the job tomorrow.
Yeah, Phil Jackson is meeting with the team. I think, you know, I saw online everybody was like, Phil Jackson to the Lakers. And but I started calling around to some folks that I knew and found out that Phil Jackson was actually still meeting with the Lakers. Turns out the reason I think they fired Brown is because Phil Jackson decided he wanted to come back. And so this turns out as Phil Jackson decided he wanted to make a return to the Lakers, and the Lakers decided, well, they're not going to turn that down. So looks like they're just trying to work out some kinks. It looks like Phil Jackson is coming back.
Yeah, I just don't like the way. First of all, you know, I didn't think he was the right man for the job to begin with. But, you know, because something better comes along just to fire the coach. But you've made a great point a week or so ago, Trey, maybe 2 weeks ago, about being concerned that the Lakers were winless in preseason. And, you know, I blew it off, and a lot of people blew it off that they hadn't won a game, but all of a sudden it carried over into the regular season. And if you're a Lakers fan, Trey, did you hit the panic button when you saw the first few games?
No, to me it paralleled the start of the sort of the regular season that the Heat had when they had all of those players come into the Heat. It was very similar to the Heat back in, I think, 2010. I don't think it's a panic. I mean, Nash has been missing. I mean, Nash is actually out now for a couple of weeks. Obviously, Mike Brown is a coach a lot of people have had criticism of. But, I mean, if Phil Jackson is going to come back and run the triangle, then I mean, this offense works out very well with the pieces they have in place to run Phil Jackson's offense. I mean, they all just are perfect. for Phil Jackson's offense. So you can see why they'd make the change. I'm not sure they would have made the change had it not been for Phil Jackson. I mean, it seemed very, very sort of quick on the draw, Tarvin, to me. When I saw the move, I was like, whoa, way too fast. Possibly the quickest move I've ever seen in coaching history. And then all of a sudden you hear the Phil Jackson rumors. You're like, well, now it makes sense, because why do you fire a guy that fast in the season unless you have something like Phil Jackson lined up? And so now it's starting to make sense, Tarvin, but before it didn't make any sense to me at all, because you don't fire a coach that fast in the season.
And you're exactly right. And the first thing that came to my mind was, and it wasn't Phil Jackson, which was a thought, but they had to have somebody lined up before they would just fire this guy a few games into the season. And they wouldn't fire him for just anyone. So all this smoke and mirrors with other – I think there's a few other coaches named that are interviewing. We know who gets the job if he wants the job. But do you want to see him come in, Trey, and take the Lakers and win the title at all? Or do you want to see him fall flat on his face?
No, I don't want to see him win a title. I mean, what's the drama in that? I mean, he's been there, he's done that. I mean, do I want to see the same guy win it again? No. That storyline played out. I think the storyline of him coming in and falling flat would be the storyline that I'd love to see. I'd love to see the Spurs, who are about 140 years old, beat them in the playoffs, and because no one sees that coming. Or the Thunder, who traded away Harden, and everyone now thinks have no chance of winning a title, win it. I'd like to see those storylines play out much quicker. I guess much more prevalent than the Heat or the Lakers.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this was panic mode for the Lakers. They know if they're going to beat the Heat or if they're going to even win the West, because, Trey, you can't afford to lose, 8 or 9 games out of 11 or something and then think you're going to contend in the West, because like the San Antonio Spurs, they win their regular season games. They don't lose. So automatically, you're not going to catch them. So you're going to be fighting for a while, just for a playoff spot, maybe 5, 6, or 7, which you know as well as I do is not good in the playoffs when you have to go to San Antonio or some big Oklahoma City early in the playoffs. So they had to make this move and make it fast. And somebody in the chat room said, yeah, a lot of other teams should be taking note of this. If something's not working out, why do you sit here and hold on to it? I commend the Lakers for getting someone out of a position. Even though LeBron James said it wasn't right what they did, he thinks they made a mistake. Of course, LeBron's going to say that. He doesn't want to play Phil Jackson in the Lakers, does he?
No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, Phil Jackson comes back, and Kobe, obviously, this is an offense Kobe Bryant runs easily and performs outstandingly well, Tarvin. I mean, Nash, this is Nash picks up this offense very well. Obviously, this is an offense for a big man like Dwight Howard. I mean, this is Shaquille O'Neal ran this offense very well, so this is an offense that works out very well for Dwight Howard as well. So you're talking about an offensive scheme that turns out very well for the players they have right now for the Lakers. So if it does work out, and this is all these rumors we're hearing are true. Now, here's my question to everyone. What happens if this is all, smoke and mirrors? What happened to Phil Jackson? They made this move, and Phil Jackson wasn't really ready to come back, and they're meeting with him, and Phil Jackson decides, you know what, I'm not going to come back. Where are the Lakers then?
Well, I think they have some other coaches in line, but, anyone would quit what they were doing to come be a part of this team because of the talent. I mean, this team is loaded. They should not, when this trade was made with Nash and Howard, Trey, it wouldn't have surprised me if the Lakers would have lost 2 games in a regular season almost. That's how good they were. And now the loss. So I think any coach would come and take this job, and you can't get any worse than what Brown did. But what was the problem with Brown, in your opinion, before we move off this? What was the – was it respect? The players didn't have respect for him? What was it?
I think it was not understanding how to use the pieces he had. I mean, if you watched the preseason, you'd find that Steve Nash would be kind of floating off to the side, the wings, without the basketball. And that is not how Steve Nash moves with the basketball. I mean, he wasn't actually using his talent to create for other players. And so Steve Nash was basically just sitting out on the wing, and no one was covering him because Steve Nash isn't a great shooter. And basically, it was almost like a decoy. I mean, Steve Nash wasn't really part of the offense. So you're talking about an offensive scheme that didn't really seem to understand how to use all the pieces they had. So I think of Mike Brown, I just didn't think he knew how to use the offensive pieces that he had. He just didn't seem to understand how to use people like Nash's strengths and how to use Kobe Bryant and how to use Dwight Howard to basically, you know, optimize the best offensive scheme for all three of those players.
Well, I mean, it goes to show you. I mean, a coach is not just the X's and O's. It's understanding how to utilize the strengths. Just like you said, you have to get the most out of the players you have and to make them work as one unit. So Brown failed. Will he go anywhere else, Trey? Will any other team take a chance?
I don't know. I don't think this year, Tarvin. Maybe in a year or two. I mean, Mike Brown will coach again, probably. But not this year, and I would say next year is probably a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. Jonathan in the chat room said Mike Brown to Charlotte. I don't know about that. But you know, the NBA and college basketball, we're going to talk a lot about that, you know, in the weeks to come, especially once college football gets over with. But, you know, college basketball started the other night. Kentucky got a win. I think it was Maryland they played. They barely escaped that game. So, like I said, the Kentucky Wildcats, they're loaded, but they're going to slowly start, and they might lose a couple of games early in the year, but by the end of the year, Kentucky will be back to the form they were last year, hopefully. So, anything in college basketball stand out to you this weekend?
Wasn't there a big upset from UConn and Michigan State out there in the big classic, or I guess the much valued ESPN game? Didn't UConn go out there with brand new Kevin Ollie coaching the new, brand new UConn and go out there and upset a top ranked Michigan State team?
Yep.
I mean, so, you know, you got to think about Kevin Ollie and the, you know, fantastic job he did coaching an unranked UConn team, going out there and taking down a top ranked Sparty.
Yeah, and in the NFL game going on right now, the Bears and the Texans, you would think in the rain that the Texans wouldn't keep trying to throw deep against the Bears. They've got picked off twice already tonight. Houston leads early in the second quarter 3-0 in this defensive struggle that we talked about. But college basketball is going to be fun. And I want to hit some news before we get into, you know, what's on everybody's mind tonight. Dooley out of Tennessee, the news is coming that he has been told that he would not return next year. They're going to let him coach against Vanderbilt in Kentucky. Vanderbilt's actually a 3.5-point favorite over Tennessee, early line that came out. So what do you think about this Dooley firing? You know, you squander a huge opportunity to win an SEC game. You're up big at home, yet you lose in 4 overtimes to a terrible Missouri team, Trey.
Well, I mean, I think the reason you and I have been talking about Dooley and how he's been needing to go for a while. I mean, the thing is it's not a surprise, Harvin. I mean, Dooley needs to be gone. His project has failed in Tennessee. The players don't seem to play that hard for him. He doesn't seem to be recruiting all that well. You know, when it comes down to the historic looking at Tennessee, he's losing games that he shouldn't. I mean, losing to Missouri. I'm sorry, Tarvin, Missouri. I mean, come on. You know, Missouri in their first year in the SEC, you know, you're getting beat by Missouri. So, you know, Tennessee saying, hey, you're going to basically serve your tenure this year. I mean, they're probably using this time to basically groom who they really want their last, you know, who their next coach is going to be, and having a long recruiting process for that next coach. I mean, Tarvin, what do you think? I mean, do you think they should go ahead and fire him now, or do you like the fact that they're basically using this time to bring somebody else in?
Well, I think nobody wants a lame duck around, and Tuberville was there at Auburn. Chizik's doing it now. I think it sends a bad message, and also in the environment we're in today, it's cutthroat. There's a lot of vacancies about to come open possibly for head coaching jobs. I think the faster you come out to the media – and say he's fired, get him out, let someone else do an interim job. You know why I say that is because look at Tennessee. I mean, in order to beat Vanderbilt, probably they need a spark. And I think Dooley being fired since he lost his team, maybe an interim coach, those players will step up and play hard for some interim coach. Just say Thousand Series, the interim coach for the rest of the season, the defensive coordinator, which I think is garbage. You know, do that. That way to let other coaches and players know, recruits know that, hey, they're doing something about this. Same thing with Auburn. If you know Chizik's going to be out, get him out. Let's not wait around. But I think he should be gone immediately. I don't think finishing the season would be right. And if I was Dooley, I wouldn't want to finish the season if you're going to fire me.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the coaching carousel, Tarvin. Let's play this out. So let's say that Oregon goes on. Let's say they win a national championship this year. I mean, Chip Kelly almost went to the NFL. Let's say he bolts for the NFL. So now you have a top level program in Oregon who has a new coaching position. You got, what, maybe three or four SEC spots open. You have a couple more Pac-12 spots open. You know, Cal, Tedford, they're going to fire Tedford. I mean, Tarvin, who do you think? I mean, what big name goes to the biggest spot?
I don't know. I mean, I could see John Gruden maybe going to Tennessee. Do you see that being even a possibility?
You know, I've heard that bantered about. I've heard that I've heard him basically say that's not going to happen. I've heard that there's some assistants who are looked at in Tennessee right now, and that's who's the strong possibility at Tennessee. I've heard the strongest possibility for Auburn is Charlie Strong out of Louisville, which for Auburn would be a great move. So, you know, there's some really good coaches who could end up in the SEC, and, you know, if an Oregon spot comes open, I mean, who knows who bolts what program to go there, too.
Yeah, and Chip Kelly, they're saying it's almost inevitable that he's going to the NFL after this year. Have you heard that?
That's what I'm saying, Tarvin. If he leaves, if they win a national championship, I mean, he almost left last year. I mean, if he wins the national championship this year, I mean, I think he's gone. I mean, I think if you know he's checked that box in the college football ranks now. You know, I mean, so if he wins the national championship, I think he's gone. And I think the amount of money that Nike's putting into Oregon and the recruiting they're doing into Oregon, somebody in a big school is going to go to Oregon. So I mean, Oregon's going to have a top ranked coach go there. So you know that would be another huge coaching move that could draw. You know, who knows what coach could go there out of, I mean, or you can pull a big name, coach from a big name school. I mean, that's how big Oregon is.
And here's a question, too, in the chat room I want to get going. Hey, if you want to call in real quick, 646-716-5564, 646-716-5564. Join us in the chat room as well. We got a lot of people starting to pile in, the regulars, and I'll mention them in a minute. But why would Chip Kelly want to leave Oregon right now where he has Nike? I mean, he can get any amount of money he wants probably. And why would you go to the NFL? And one of the reasons I say that is Chip Kelly is known for this offense that he runs. I don't know if it would work in the NFL or not. But see, that's the key. Why would you take a chance on Kelly if you were an NFL team? And if you're Kelly, why would you leave the comfort of Oregon where you have a machine?
Well, that's a good question. I kind of wonder that myself from time to time. You got some of these coaches who, I mean, you look at it, there's example after example. Look at Nick Saban. Look at look at the old ball coach. They didn't have the greatest success in the NFL, and they are fantastic college football coaches. You kind of wonder if Chip Kelly would be that kind of guy because you wonder if their system translates in the NFL. But then you look at Greg Schiano, what he did for the Bucs this year, and he's looking like a legitimate college coach who's gone to a legitimate NFL coach. So you just never know who's gonna go into the NFL and do well. I mean, I kind of agree with you. I think Chip Kelly's got a perfect situation at Oregon. I mean, this guy could be a national championship contender for 10 years. I mean, at Oregon, just because of the amount of money that Nike's putting in there, the recruiter he's drawing in. I mean, so. Why leave a perfect situation? But then again, maybe he dreams of greener pastures.
And Jason makes a great point. Jason mentioned in the chat room, he says, at some point the talent will run dry once USC comes off probation really and gets going, and so is UCLA once they come back. That's a great point. Maybe Kelly sees that. You know, he sees that Southern Cal will gain strength, and if you're going to leave college and go to the NFL, why not go out when you're on top? But I think Chip Kelly is one of those coaches, Trey, that can take any offense, any players, and actually be productive with it. He might not run that system that he's running now, but I think he's a good enough coach to go in and get the most out of his players in the NFL, CFL, I don't care where he's at. But I think that's a big thing about him. He's my favorite coach, one of them in the country. I really like him, and I wouldn't leave college if I was him, but because and people save money. Nike is willing to pay anything to keep this guy around. Oregon Ducks are a brand now with Nike, so it is Nike, right? I hope I'm not saying that wrong.
Yeah, it's Nike, and their facilities are rival anyone's. I mean, obviously, the only thing that they don't have is the location. I mean, they don't have the USC, the Florida State, the Alabama. They don't have that atmosphere, that location that draws kids in. But they do have the money and the facilities that, you know, for football playing, recruiting, and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Nike's given them that. I mean, they absolutely have given them that. So, you know, when it comes down to that, they have anything they want in that regard when it comes to recruiting. And they will have it as long as Nike keeps backing them.
Yeah. Well, hey, Trey, I'm going to take a caller real quick. 256 area code, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Corey. What's going on?
Hey, Corey, what's up, bud?
Not a lot. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to listen to the live show the last couple of weeks, but and I'm on a limited time basis tonight, but I had to stop in and make a call at least. Talk about what went on over the weekend. Starters, I was just going to remind you, who's been saying Kansas State was number one all year?
I have.
Yeah, that was me. Oh, and you too.
No, it wasn't me.
Everybody's been laughing at me all year. And, of course, they still haven't finished the season number one. There's a long way to go. But they're sitting at number one right now. And over here in Alabama, everybody's been laughing in my face since, like, week three when I've been saying, Kansas State's number one. Look at what they've done all year or what they've done so far. They've done a lot more than anybody else. They should be number one. And, yeah, everybody's like, oh, you're crazy. What are you drinking? And, I mean, they're number one right now, although there's a good chance they won't finish that way.
Yeah,
just wanted to
kind of
rub that in a little bit.
Yeah, I've been picking them to lose every week, so I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to pick them to lose against Baylor next week, and I'm going to pick them to lose against Texas, whichever one. So I'm going to keep going for it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, they still have a lot of football left to play, so I was just going to thought you might enjoy that, talking about that for a minute. But,
yeah, it was Kansas State's a good team. Trey, do you think Kansas State's the best team in the country?
I think right now they have the most legitimate argument. I mean, between them and Oregon, I mean, why not? I think the argument is between them two and not Notre Dame, to be honest. I mean, I picked them to lose this week. I mean, I thought, to be honest, I knew Klein was going to play. I wouldn't have picked them to lose. I thought Klein was not going to play. By the way, Snyder was talking before the game. So, you know, joke's on me. Thanks a lot, Snyder. But, you know. And, you know, I thought that the whole TCU stats that I was spouting on the show, a lot of people brought that up this week. But the point is, you know, Klein is just all he does is win, and that defense is better than a lot of people realize. So I also think they're going to lose to Baylor. I think the Texas game is going to be a pretty good game, though.
In all honesty, I really think Oregon will probably win a close one if they play Kansas State. But I was just saying earlier in the year, based on what they had done to that point, I thought they had a more impressive resume than anybody else.
Hey, Corey, I have something for you that might make everybody scratch their head. And tonight we're going to have a good format and everything, but we're going to let the callers in the chat room tonight dictate everything we do. Corey, are you on speakerphone?
Yes, I am.
Can you get off speakerphone? Just for a second, it's making some noise on the...
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, Trey and Corey, real quick, before we change, is Alabama, according to Vegas, would still be favored over all three of those teams that are undefeated right now. Corey, what do you think about that?
Individually, if they played, I think Alabama would beat Notre Dame without a lot of trouble. But I think against Kansas State or Oregon, either one, I would call the game a toss-up.
Yeah. Trey, what do you think about Bama being favored over all three of those?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, the thing is we learned a lot about Alabama's weaknesses in the last 2 weeks. I mean, and they're still – I mean, do the other teams have weaknesses? Yeah, we just haven't seen the big ones yet for the other teams. So, you know, I'm not sure Alabama should be favored in those games. I think that's still, you know, a little bit of the SEC preference. But, you know, I mean, it's possible. I mean, Alabama is still a very, very, very good team. And let's not discount the fact that they're still very likely or very good chance that if they did play in the game, they could win it. Just like last year after they lost, they came back and won the national championship.
Yeah, it takes a lot. Corey, I'm having some problems with your phone, buddy, so I'm going to have to cut it off right there. If you want to call back in, hang up and call back in, that's fine, but we're going to have to kind of move on. We're getting a lot of noise in the background. So we're going to come back to college football, guys, and anybody that wants to call in tonight and talk with us, please do 646-716-5564. Looking at the chat room, I'm going to name some people real quick before we hit the NFL. We got Brian Burgess, Corey Bird, Drew Hopper. We have a guest, Jason Humphrey, Jason Minson, Jonathan Miklos, Joshua Shaw, Corey Johnson, Lacey Key, Sonia Minson, and Tino. So it looks like the regular crew's here. Let's keep adding them in, and let's have some fun tonight. I'm ready to talk some football, Trey. NFL today, looking at the games, did anything jump out at you today while you were sitting back in your recliner drinking your cold beer?
Yeah, I don't think that happened for me today in the NFL, but, you know, well, I think the biggest thing that surprised me was a really stupid tie. I can't believe the NFL still allows ties, and that just infuriates me.
It's for injury purposes, man. That's why they do that.
I believe they could go to the college rules, and I mean, I just don't believe that injury reasons are valid.
Well, you look at it, it's also they're professionals. It's like your boss coming in saying to you, hey, we're going to work overtime tonight, and you're not going to get paid a dime for it. In a way, you look at it, they look at it that way. I think it's the injuries as well. But the tie, I hate it too, Trey. There needs to be a winner. I don't care if you go out there and have your two captains fist fight each other in midfield to see who's standing last. But something needs to be done besides a tie.
Well, I don't care if they have a field goal battle where, you know, they start. I don't care. Just do something where there's not a tie at the end of this thing. I mean, I just think it's ridiculous.
The Niners with, you know, today we see two quarterbacks go out. We see Alex Smith with the Niners go out that probably cost their team a win. And then you see Michael Vick. Actually, the Eagles play better without Michael Vick, honestly. He gets knocked out of a game, and surprise, surprise, I've been saying that all year, that it was just a matter of time before Michael Vick took that last shot that knocked him out of a game. But the Eagles are done, Trey. There's no way the Eagles are going to make the playoffs this year. But I was impressed with the kid that came in. His name's slipping my mind right now, from Arizona. I'm sorry, I'm not thinking of his name. But he played well. He came out and hit a 50-yard touchdown starting the third quarter. So the injury bug, it looked like Michael Vick to me, Trey. He wasn't as hurt as he was acting. What do you think?
Well, he got hurt on a play before, and I guess on the play that he actually left, basically, you know, on the concussion, he just lost sight. You know, and the concussion symptoms really came forward. I mean, he's been hit so many times in the head. You know, you never know when those concussion symptoms are really going to start rearing its head. So I think the concussion symptoms just finally got to him.
Yeah, the concussions, they're nothing to joke about. And, Corey, I think you're back in the queue. If you want to come back in, just put it on the chat room that you want to come back in. But, Trey, you want to start real quick and let's knock these games out for the NFL?
Yeah, sure. You know, our first game, Tarvin, was the Lions and Vikings. This game, the Vikings held home court.
Yeah, I mean, we both picked the Lions in this game. Percy Harvin out, but looking at it, Adrian Peterson is playing like the Adrian Peterson of old. So, man, I was very impressed with Minnesota winning a game against a team I just think is better than them. So I didn't get to watch the game, but I did follow some of the stats and the things that were going on NFL Network. But Detroit seemed like they were never in this game, Trey. It just seemed like Minnesota always had that lead and would never let up. Anytime Detroit cut it within seven, there Minnesota was to come back again. So this is kind of a good team.
Well, I mean, Christian Ponder played really well today. Of course, it was because he was playing me in fantasy football. But, you know, the Vikings played much better at home. I don't know if Jason wants to come on and tell us, you know, how well the Vikings played. But they really played very well at home, like they always do. And I really dominated the game from the start.
Yeah, they did. And we were wrong. Minson was right, as usual. And so take us to a game, Trey. I think we both picked this right. Take us to number
one. No, I picked this one wrong. I went with the Falcons over the Saints.
Okay, well, I got you then.
Yeah, you did.
What did you think about this one? It was a 31-27 game. It was very interesting, very intriguing matchup. So what did you think?
Well, this game was a shootout. I mean, it was a really good game to watch. This game was, if you watch the game, it was really a great game for the tight ends. I mean, Jimmy Graham and Tony Gonzalez, the ageless wonder, really just filled the stat column. I mean, just an awesome game to watch. Really, if you love watching tight ends just destroy the stat column. In the end, it came down to the Saints. Just played a little bit better than the Falcons did.
Yeah, and Drew Brees and company, they started out 0-4. And if they win next week, these guys are 500 and have a chance of making the playoffs. What do you think about Mr. Drew Brees, Lacey Key's favorite quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, one, some of these guys that, you know, Joe Vitt, who was suspended, you're seeing him come back and coach, and I think that matters. I think some of the cohesion that, you know, that sort of affected them in the beginning of the season, all the stuff that was going on off the field, their off-the-field issues have died down. People have stopped talking about it, and they're focusing on playing the football games that are in front of them. And you're seeing the Saints play much better.
Yeah, I'm impressed, man. Four losses in a row, I counted them dead. I didn't think they had a shot to come back, but Jason Minson made a good point in the chat room. Their defense is garbage, and I looked at their schedule, and it doesn't get easier. It gets tougher. So I think this will be the end of the Saints after the next few weeks. I think beating the Falcons was, to them, a win for their season after all this happened. I don't really see the Saints coming out once they lose another game or so, really trying to compete and give it all they have. I just don't think they see it as really realistic to make the playoffs. But I am impressed with them, Trey, starting out 0-4 and coming back and playing well. So take us on to number three.
Well, the Cowboys and the Eagles, this game was turned out to be near the end of the game. The Cowboys just kept scoring off turnovers. But this game, actually, Nick Foles kept this game alive much closer than I thought once Vic left the game. But the Cowboys ended up winning this game, as predicted for at least me. I think the Eagles are probably over. Andy Reid's going to be fired pretty shortly. I don't think Andy Reid makes it to the end of the year, Tarvin.
Yeah, I just think it's time for him to go. I just don't see him coming in there and getting any more, you know, out of these players. Something's wrong in Philadelphia, and I think it starts at the top. And I think you have Andy Reid, you have Michael Vick. You just have a lot of problems going on with Philadelphia right now that I just don't think is fixable with Andy Reid at the helm.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, you know, Trey, I'm getting a lot of static out of your phone, but
yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. I just don't see really Philadelphia being able to turn it around. They look good for a little while today. The defense played well, but the shutdown corners on the Cowboys in the second half really stepped up in the second half. So when you have a rookie in Foles like that coming in even if it's at home, he's playing against some of the best corners in the NFL, and he made mistakes. But the defense kept him in. Trey, I was really impressed with the Eagles' defense today. It did play better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles definitely impressed defensively. I mean, they're still a pretty decent football team, and so we'll have to see. I mean, a lot of people thought that Nick Foles actually was the better quarterback going into the beginning of the year, so as a rookie. So we'll have to see. I mean, this could be his team now. I mean, we'll have to see if Vic is able to come back. I mean, he's been getting hit in the head a lot. So, I mean, concussions with the NFL rules, I mean, this could be actually Vic could be out for a while just legitimately with concussions. So and by that point, we'll see if Foles takes the starting job for them.
He's probably relieved, honestly. Looking at his face today, it's like, thank God I got hurt finally. So now I don't have to endure this with this offensive line and this team. So, yeah, I don't look to see Vic back. I think Foles is the quarterback of the future for the Eagles right now. I think Vic will probably be gone soon and go somewhere else and try to end his career and try to make one more push. But I just think it's a bad fit in Philly right now unless something's done with him or the coaches. So, if you're an Eagles fan, you're feeling like I am today. So I picked Dallas in this game. Trey, you picked Dallas, so we were both winners. And I'll put up the winners of the pick'em tonight after the show later on. But number two game, was that Tampa Bay?
Yeah, the Tampa game. This game, was really, really, really entertaining, Carvin. The Bucs again, Greg Schiano looked really good, and they got another win.
Yeah, I mean, enough said about that. Tampa at home, they did what we thought they would do. What, they win by 10 points?
The final score was about 10, yeah.
Yeah, I really was getting impressed with Schiano, what he's been able to do in Tampa. I really didn't think he would be that successful, but he is. Hey, Trey, is there anything you can do to make your phone better? I'm having a lot of trouble.
Sorry, I had to move it around a little bit. Sorry, I had to try to get my hands free.
Okay, if you have to, you can hang up and call back in or something, but it's just hard to hear what's going on. So the number one game right now being played, Houston Texans are playing the Bears. This should be the Monday night game, Dre. it's a great game, defensive game. Both offenses are good. Defenses are good. Coaches are good. This could be a preview of the Super Bowl, like you said the other night. I don't think it will be, but two Super Bowl-caliber teams playing tonight. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, it's a defensive struggle. It's raining really hard. There's been a lot of turnovers so far, Tarvin. But, so far, neither team has gotten the ground game really running. But Arian Foster just ripped off a big run. Looks like the Texans are starting to get a little momentum here right before the half.
Yeah, look, they're down to the three-yard line before half, and you know, it won't take much for Houston to get a lead for their defense to be able to hold. So this is a big touchdown if they're able to get in. If Houston tries to get in for field goals right here, it's going to be tough to get a win on the road. Down there earlier, they should have got a touchdown. They had to settle for three. This is a must-touchdown drive for the Texans, Trey. If they don't get in here, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. I think the Bears might beat them if they don't get in here.
You get to have touchdowns when you're on the road, for sure.
Yeah, especially against the Bears' defense. You don't get down to the three-yard line much. So anytime you get down inside the 10, you have to put up sticks, and they almost did. But they're a little short. But we'll hit this game as the show goes on. Tonight we're going to have a guest on in a little while. He runs NDB Media. He has a great show out on the West Coast. He's from California, Roger Noriega. He loves our chat room. He loves to see everybody in it, the way they love college football. So he's going to come on and talk a little college football with us, Trey, and give us what he thinks, you know, from a West Coast perspective about this whole college football season. So in just a few minutes, he'll come join us for a quick minute, and I'm looking forward to having him on. And, Trey, six of the top 10 teams in the nation are SEC teams right now. Initial thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that's about what it was last week, so there's really no surprise. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, are they in the top two anymore, and they're not? So, not necessarily low. It's just where it is. I mean, you got to be in the top two at the end of the season, and right now the SEC isn't. The SEC is most definitely the strongest conference in the nation. But unfortunately, they knocked themselves out of the national championship race for the time being.
Well, Jonathan Miklow said the SEC is overrated.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I mean, when you have a team like Auburn in there, man, it just strengthens your conference up this year. So you can't say the SEC is overrated right now. But I will say the SEC is not as strong up top as they have been in years past. I mean, Alabama's rebuilding. Very surprised they lost, and we'll talk about that game for sure in a few minutes. But looking at the rankings, Trey, I'm not shocked, but I want to say one thing, and I saw this on a lot of boards today about Florida State. They came in at number 10 in the BCS, and they were jumped by a lot of SEC teams, Trey. Why do the computers hate Florida State right now?
Well, they've played a really, really weak schedule, and let's be honest. I mean, their schedule has been really, really weak. I mean, look at their schedule and tell me who they beat, who really impresses you. I mean, there's been Clemson and who else? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, but they have talent, though. You know, on paper, Florida State can match up with anybody. It's just very hard to get this. And I'm going to take a call real quick, Trey. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Jason.
What's up, Jason?
Hey, Tarino. Hey, just kind of piggyback on what you're talking about. I actually, you know, because I've always maintained that the Big Ten was extremely soft this year, so I kind of did a comparison about the different conferences. And this kind of ties into, you know, strength. And, you know, my argument was with a bunch of Ohio State fans where they're just kind of bragging on their 10-0, and I'm keep maintaining that it's a weak 10-0. So I did, you know, a comparison through the conferences. And if you look at the Big Ten top to bottom, they only have two legitimate wins against top 25 teams. And anyone they beat that was previously in the top 25 are no longer ranked. So they really haven't played anyone. And then when you go even further and you look at Ohio State's schedule, they haven't played anyone. And what really stuck out to me was Michigan State. Of all the teams in the Big Ten, you know who has the toughest schedule? Michigan State. Northwestern hasn't played anyone ranked. You know, so from top to bottom, they're nothing. And then, you know, since I did that, I went in and I compared the Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. You know, the next conference you can go to is the Big 12. They've got five teams ranked in the top 25, but they only have five legitimate wins against ranked teams. Okay, then you go to the Pac-12, and I don't mean to bash Oregon, but in their 10-0, they've played three ranked teams, but only one of them is still ranked, and USC is only number 17th. Washington isn't ranked anymore, and Arizona isn't ranked anymore. So, you know, they're probably next in line as far as strength because they've beaten, you know, nine wins for ranked teams. But for people to say the SEC is overrated, you look at that last tab because I sent it to you, Tarvin. You've got 10 wins against ranked teams. You have five SEC teams in the top 10. You have 6 if you count South Carolina to 11. So, you know, how can you argue? I mean, it's from top to bottom, the SEC is leading the conferences. And I think I said it earlier this year, as far as strength, SEC is probably the top, Pac-12 is second. Then I take Big 12. And Big Ten is last. You know, I kind of think Big Ten is right there even with the ACC. You know, so I don't see any argument. I mean, it's plain as day. It'll get real interesting the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I say it, Jason, is okay, if you say the SEC is overrated, tell me a conference that's better. I mean, the SEC could be overrated in someone's sense if they said, hey, they're not as good as I thought they were, what people are saying. They're still the best conference, but they're not as good. But I can't see a conference out there, honestly, just looking at it, that's that's number one besides them. Just even though they got some bad teams in the SEC, you know, Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, Missouri right now, they're the bottom four, of course. But you look at Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida, South Carolina, LSU, Georgia. I mean, you can Mississippi State's okay. You know, Arkansas's down with all the stuff that happened. But I can't see a conference, Jason or Trey, that's even close to number two. To be
No, and, you know, and the only one that I kind of agree with as far as when people say overrated, because when I looked at the schedules of these teams, I'll concede Mississippi State probably should have never been even rated because you look at their schedule, they didn't really play anyone through the first eight games. I mean, when they hit the meat of their schedule, they got exposed. I mean, really bad. And that's the reason why they're no longer ranked. So, you know, everyone bitches about the BCS, but in the grand scheme of things, by the end of the year, everything kind of works out itself. I mean, if you don't deserve to be ranked, you're not going to be ranked. And, you know, I just think it's ironic that there's only two 10s ranked in the Big Ten, and one of them isn't even eligible. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me. And I even question Michigan being ranked at this point. So, you know, I guess I'm a realist because I look at the Big Ten overall, and I just see it's weak, and I'll make a prediction right now. I'll put money on it. I guarantee you Ohio State's first loss is going to be against Wisconsin. Wisconsin is not the same team that we saw at the beginning of the year. I mean, they're going to give Ohio State a big surprise.
Is that this weekend coming up?
Yep, that's their next game.
Where's it being played?
I want to say it's in Madison.
Yeah, they have improved a lot. I mean, Trey and I were making fun of Wisconsin. They were probably one of the worst teams we've ever seen. And now all of a sudden they found it. That offensive line is starting to click. The running game, which opens up, guess what? The play-action pass for Wisconsin is what they're known for. But they are playing better a lot.
Yeah, they look good Saturday. And I even think Michigan will give Ohio State a run for their money at the end of the year. I mean, that right there is, you know, flip a coin because it don't matter what your record is. That's kind of like the Iron Bowl. I mean, they hate each other. I mean,
it matters. It matters this year, the Iron Bowl. I mean, it won't matter about rival this year. I think it's just a bad year for that. But we're going to talk about that. Jason, I appreciate the call, and we're going to bring you back on. I'm going to get Roger on.
No problem.
I guess, but stay on the horn, and we'll get you back on in just a few.
All right, man.
All right. I think this is Roger on the 323 area code. What's going on?
Good evening, Brian. How you doing?
Yes, this is Roger.
Roger, how was the show today?
The one with the couch potato, unfortunately, Brian, for the first time in a long time,
I missed it. I overslept.
Oh, good. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
But, hey, I introduced you, man. You're on the West Coast. Everybody, listen up. This is Roger Noriega, the scorekeeper. He has a great show on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Sports Talk with the Guys on Saturday morning. Just really love watching, listening to that show. And Roger's been listening to our chat room, and he likes our chat room with all the enthused college football fanatics, don't you, Roger?
Well, I've got to tell you, Brian has invited me to be on his program several times now, and he says, go into the chat room. And I tell him, nah, you know, I'm just a voyeur, I kick back watching, because they are a hostile bunch, Brian, and it amazes me as to how they go after each other. And I just stay on as a guest, Brian, because I don't want to pick a fight. But, ladies and gentlemen, you saw what happened today? Then let's just get it off the table. Bama sucks, all right? And I want to ask this question. What is the difference between Oklahoma and Auburn? They're not LSU.
A lot of difference.
Yeah. Yes, they're not LSU. So,
Roger, did you watch the Alabama game yesterday?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
I honestly, I was genuinely surprised.
Whoa, they've already started up in the chat room, Brian.
Oh, I know. It doesn't take them long. Now, this chat room is very well, I mean, they're educated. They know their football. So you being on the West Coast, Roger, what is everyone saying today when they came in and now that, you know, Alabama's not number one anymore and Oregon's number one in the AP and coaches poll?
Hey, all right, look, hold on a minute. Brian, look at what they're saying in the chat room. You put me up to this, pal. You put me up to this.
Oh, man. Okay, you're high on meth. Are you Rick's cousin? I like Sonia's comment. Are you Rick's cousin? So that's a good comment there.
Yeah,
Roger's afraid of our chat room, you know, because you guys are so passionate about it, and Roger's just playing with you Bama fans out there. He knows. He's just trying to rile you up a little bit. But looking at it yesterday, what game did you watch, actually?
Actually, I had a chance to watch that game, and then I was out. As you saw on my Facebook page, I went to go visit my mom, spend time with the family, so I was only able to get that one game. And all kidding aside, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to see this game, and I was genuinely surprised that they lost. And now that Oregon beat them, I confused them with Oregon State as we were talking on our program. But I think Oregon is the only team that can play with them, and now that they're in first place, I don't know, dude. I mean, I haven't checked the schedule, but these guys are still 1-2. Is there any team that can play with Bama? I don't know, guys. Oregon, maybe. That would be about it.
Yeah, I think so, honestly. If Bama is fortunate enough to make it through the title game after that loss yesterday, Vegas is saying Bama's a favorite over all three of them. So that's surprising to me, especially with Oregon. I know last week, Bama was going to be a 4-point favorite over Oregon if they played in the future, and a 14-point favorite over Notre Dame and Kansas State. So looking at it, I think Vegas still sees that, you know, that Bama's still a very good team, but the best team never always gets to play in that championship game. So if Bama doesn't make it, we'll never find out. So tell us more about your show so I can get all my listeners acquainted with your show that I listen to every Saturday morning at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Well, first of all, honestly, I do want to thank everyone in the chat room. They are an avid bunch. I respect and admire you guys so much so that I do. I just stay quiet, usually as a guest. I like watching it. Guys, I'm smarter than picking on college fans. I know that. So I just prefer to stay quiet. Yeah, because I actually learn from everyone in the chat room. I've been one of the guests that's usually there. Whenever you have a guest, that's me. So over on the West Coast, you know, we have USC and UCLA. And I don't know if you guys know this, but this is a joke that we have in Southern California. If you walk into a dentist's office and you see a UCLA certificate up there that they graduated, you're cool because you know they worked for it. If you walk into a dental office that has a USC, you got to ask them, did you pay for it or did you earn it? That's how we have it on the East Coast, or I should say on the West Coast. And over here in California, in Southern California, that's it. You have USC, which is just south of downtown, and you have UCLA, which is over on the west side near Westwood. Kind of funny. The poor school, UCLA, is in a very nice part of town, and the rich school, USC, is just outside of downtown, north of South Central. Kind of funny. But we are avid fans, and it is pretty intense because we don't have a professional football team. So that's it when it comes to it. The college basketball teams are there, but we have Lakers. And then when you extend it out, you have Dodgers, you have the Galaxy, Anaheim to the south. Even the Padres come into play on it. You have the Clippers. And the Kings. So you're fortunate. You have a large city here with a large fan base. And Sports Talk with the Guys started out as two guys who are avid fans that wanted to have a conversation on Saturday morning. And to make a joke of it, we always called ourselves Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday morning quarterbacks. Because you know the joke about Monday morning quarterbacks. You're always late and you're behind. Well, we're so damn behind, Brian, that we're the Monday morning quarterbacks on Saturday. It's like we're throwing our sticks, not from Monday, but we throw them all the way on Saturday when everyone's not paying attention, when they're thinking of the next game already. But it's something that I've known my co-host since 1988. We love going to many games, many sports, sporting events, because we just love fans. I should say, well, yeah, we do love fans too, but we love talking sports. I was fortunate. I played baseball in high school. I played a little bit of semi-pro, and I was lucky. Baseball is my passion. And with the big dog, it's basketball, and we just love it. And I love the addition of Brian. Brian is pretty cool. He's pretty honest by saying he listens to us. Oh, hell no. It's much better when Brian comes on. And it's really cool because Brian's in the Southeast from college territory, where I'll be shot if I were to say Bama sucks again.
He would. You definitely would.
Oh, yeah. So, you see, I'm not that dumb. All right. See, this dude is 1,000 miles per hour, man. That's mad. Am I talking too fast? Sorry.
Uh-oh. And you called me a redneck yesterday.
No, sir. I was smarter. I did not call you a redneck. It was the big dog that called you a redneck.
I am a redneck, so that's okay.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was a couch potato. But it's fun when we have Brian on. He's actually been on our program for many times now, and what we do on our program is we have a an avid fan base that listens to us in the archive, and when they actually do show up in the chat room, it's different. We don't play intros for ourselves. We actually play intros for our guests because of the comments, if they say things, if they stand out in a certain way. We try to come up with a song that kind of respects them at the same time, but also gives them a quick little punch. That's the point. It is something that we try to do, and we're a little bit different. It is an intimate audience. We love sports, but we're real about it, Brian. You heard us. We don't, you know, our favorites, we rip into them too, Brian. And we want good sports.
Yep, you do. And I started Blog Talk Radio, guys, for everybody out there real quick. This is one of the first shows I listened to that I really enjoyed. There wasn't a lot to choose from. So when I listened to your show, you know, I started listening a couple of times, and then I called in one day, and ever since I was a regular. But I just really enjoy the open forum, just the freedom to say what you want, to be able to joke, to be able just to talk sports. So you really do have one of the best radio shows that I've heard out there. And I think all of my fans would really enjoy it every Saturday morning.
Well, Brian, I appreciate it, but I just read Pino Blackstock. Oh, yeah, we don't allow explicit themes here. We play music that represents our guests. We can't do the censors, man. We wild.
Tino's a guy you need to have on your show, really. You need to get Tino lined up as a guest on your show. He's some entertainment, I'll tell you that.
No doubt. We made a joke on Saturday about how well Brian has been doing. Look, guys, we've been on Blog Talk Radio since our sports program has been on since November of 2008. But Brian's been on, I think, less than a year, and his audience is just much bigger than ours, period. I don't know if Brian brags about his numbers, but his numbers are braggable. His fit in an open arena, mine fit in a phone booth. That's the difference.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, hell yeah. I don't even want to admit to what my numbers are, but Brian and I do talk about that. And the couch potato, also another friend that we've had, talk about it amongst ourselves. And I told the story yesterday about doing college, and there was a moment of silence, and like couch potato looked at each other, and we looked at each other, and we said, no. It's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, couch is not a college football enthusiast like I am. I mean, you have to have passion to do college football for it.
Oh, yeah. And based on what I see in the chat room, it's cool because I've been in here often, and you guys can say whatever you want to each other. And, yeah, sometimes it gets a little rough and stuff. But, you guys get past it because it's the love of the college game. And that's why we're all here, guys. We love sports. We love sports, and there's just nothing that's going to change it. And being able to talk sports with everyone and anyone is just cool. It's fun. We, you know, the one thing that we say in our program is, look, you can say whatever you want, but when you make the attacks personal, you're gone. We bang you out of there. And that's it. You know, we kind of joke about the fact that we could insult each other, but, you know, once we bring mamas in, we just warn each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing about our chat room, Roger. Our chat room, you know, we do differ on our teams, our opinions, but everyone in this chat room, for the most part, is very respectful of each other. And you might love Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we just want to talk sports. And that's one thing I appreciate from all of my listeners. They're just very respectful of each other. And that's the same on your show as well.
Yeah. And it is a lot of fun. One thing that we do, and Brian has been a part of from time to time, is we go over the football games, and we do an analysis. But we kind of gave up on that, Brian, as you know, because on Sunday morning, the Couch Potato, on that being said, they do a great job. I often join them to go over the football games, and it's really cool when we have four guys because you get so much information on there. And as you know, Brian, I'm a stats guy. I love numbers, and, I mean, that is my passion, is the numbers. Right or wrong, I just eat those numbers alive, man.
Yeah, you do. That's why you're called the scorekeeper, bud. That's why you're the scorekeeper.
And
your show's great, and I don't know numbers sometimes. I don't know your numbers or whatever, but I'm telling you, the quality of the show is what matters, and that's all that matters. Numbers are numbers. But when I listen to a show, I'm very picky. I listen to maybe two shows on Blog Talk Radio, and you're one of them. So that's good.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. The same thing applies to you. You know, I mentioned that we could serve each other by putting out word to each other. But when Brian started telling me his numbers, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is the difference between Brian's numbers and your numbers and ours. Brian says, well, for the month we have 1,198,164. See, that takes a long time. The reason why Brian doesn't hear my numbers is because it's 400. And that's about it, you see? I think that's all there is. You see, I said the numbers, and Brian probably said, what, did you say them again? Yeah, I did. So that's the difference. I'm really happy with it, and I'm going to tell you, I did not get a chance to see very much. I wanted to see the Raider game today, Brian, but oh my God, the Raiders got their butt kicked, dude.
Yeah, they gave up like 50 points to the Ravens. 55 in the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens have scored 55 all season combined.
Yeah, I thank God I didn't see it, guys. College or pro, I was interested in seeing this one because everyone's been talking a lot of crap about the Baltimore Ravens. You know who's out. He's gone for the season, and he may be gone for his career. So there's some serious questions about the Ravens defense. When you look at their numbers, they're actually not good, but they're 6-2. Well, sorry, they're 7-2 now. And the Raiders, you know, have no running game whatsoever. McFadden's out. Their second guy is out. I wanted to see what they could do. You know, theoretically, they should have been in the game. Well, it was a freaking blowout, Brian, and it was embarrassing. And I guess, you know, the only other game, the marquee matchup, was Houston and Chicago, and now they're in the lead, 10-3. And I thought it was going to be a close game, but I thought it was going to be somewhere around the 14-14, 17-17 halftime. And no, it's 10-3, man. That's as close as you get in a football game.
You know, Cuervo's upset because I picked the Texans over his Bears. So he said I'm never allowed to be on his show again.
Oh, no! Funny. Here's my expertise when it comes to football. Remember, I guess indirectly I did pick Houston, or I should say the Texans, because I said, you know, they should win, the Texans, but I have a feeling that Chicago's going to pull it out. I did go officially with Chicago, but game's not over yet, Brian, and I don't know. You tell me who's going to pull this one out.
Well, I think the Texans are going to pull it out because I really think that, you know, they're just a better overall team. I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl, so I would be crazy to pick them to lose tonight. So,
yeah, they actually do have a good team. And
hey, Roger, I have something to tell you from the chat room. It says Tanya says, we'll support you, but you can't slam Bama anymore, she says.
Oh, and not only that, she will start a campaign to ruin me. That really won't
and
make
she will. Money. She will, Roger. She will ruin you.
Well, I believe Russell. It, but like it I won't take very much.
but Roger does other shows. He does a sports show, but tell him real quick about NDB Media before we wrap up. Tell us about the shows, I mean, because it's just different. It's not just sports.
Thank you, Brian. We started out on Tuesday, and we've been on for about 200 and so many consecutive weeks now. NDB Media is Tuesday Night America, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 Eastern. We've been on. We do a lot of different stuff. We do joke nights. We do current event nights. We've also done some breaking news. As a matter of fact, we were the station that broke the news of, and sorry for getting political, but we were the first ones on Blog Talk Radio that broke the news of Osama bin Laden being killed. We were on air, and we knew what was going on, and we had our team from around the world covering it. As you know, we covered the Fukushima disaster. No one on Blog Talk Radio was covering it. We were the first ones live. Everything that we called came to pass. We've covered other breaking events. It's what we do. We, dare I say, we are a bit of a news organization. We're news junkies, and we try to get the word out. Oftentimes when a disaster happens, you can't get anyone on TV, you can't get anyone on the regular radio, and when there have been some big disasters, NDB Media has been there, and we get people that call in from their seat, man, I just want to talk to someone. and we say, hey, we're here, we'll try to get you whatever news we can. And we do a lot of stuff. We've interviewed many people, from politicians to police chiefs to actors, actresses, authors. We interviewed, Brian, Lieutenant Commander Richard A. Searfrost, a real American hero. He was a commander and shuttle pilot in the shuttle program. And we interviewed him on July 20th, 2009. On the 40th anniversary of the moon landing, we were talking to an astronaut, Brian. Wow.
That is amazing.
And it was great. That was a lot of fun. I've been able to speak to people that I never thought I would, much less meet. I've met a lot of them now, and it's crazy. And I'd love to meet our listeners. I would love to meet everyone. Brian, either we go to the East Coast or you come over to the West Coast, but I tell you, it's, you know, Blog Talk Radio has been an awesome, awesome thing where you meet so many people, and it's fun to hear what they have to say.
It is. I look at Blog Talk Radio. I've met so many more people like you, Cuervo, Couch, just so many different people out there, even from this show, the chat room. You know, Lacey Key, I met her. I knew some other ones from other message boards. But Blog Talk Radio is an awesome way to meet people, and all the way across the country. I have a friend in California now. So, too, I have Joshua Shaw. He's in the chat room, and I have you now. So I guess good for you, Roger. Right? Good for you.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. But it's also being especially with Brian. I don't know how we actually met up with Brian. I don't know if he was listening to the Couch Potato program or if the Couch Potato told me. But you know, it's funny how we try to trace our history and see how we actually met. But I got to tell you, if anything, guys, visit us at ndbmedia.net, if I may humbly offer that out there. We have a Twitter feed of twitter.com/ndbmedia, and it's great. And we're always, hey, here's the thing, guys. If you want to have your own program and you want to speak your mind, we have slots available on NDB Media. We have 4 hours of programming every day on NDB Media. We have numerous channels. We have NDB Media, NDB Media 2, and NDB Media 3. We have one channel programmed on Sunday night that just gives you 15 to 30 minutes of what's on the following week on NDB Media. it's cool. We have people who talk politics. We have authors. We have self-help people, historians, current events people, and it's really cool. So if you guys really would like to have your own program, hey, come on over and visit us on NDB Media. I'm sure we could work something out. And I don't even care if you know what you're talking about.
Roger, I think I know maybe a couple of people that really might be interested that would be very good. So I'll have them send you a message and everything.
Right now, I am Evil Empire in the chat room, but it is NDB Media. So in other words, it's blogtalkradio.com / NDB Media. Just one word. And, of course, ndbmedia.net.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of fun. This is how much I respect Brian. Every time Brian's on our program, I always ask him for his commentary, but I never pick a fight with Brian. If you've noticed, Brian, I go after other people, but I don't go after you. I really do respect you, dude, in your opinion. And that's another reason why I don't pick a fight with the people in the chat room. I think they're a rabid bunch. No, seriously. You know, joking aside, they're dangerous in the chat room, but like I said, they're cool about it. They believe in their team. They believe in their school. And I'm not dumb enough to pick a fight. That go Bama line, hey, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I got twisted. Brian said, dude, you want on? You want to talk about your program, your rinky-dinky little program? You got to say Bama sucks. So I'm sorry.
Exactly. I'm sorry I set you up like that for all the people. But Roger, man, I want to
wait
thank
a minute,
you
Brian.
Along.
You
what?
You
what
set
I do?
Me up, Brian? How did you set me up? I said okay,
no.
I'll say it.
because Alabama fans are very passionate, and this was before Alabama lost. So I wasn't doing that because they lost. I just wanted you to welcome the chat room and get for them to welcome you as well. You don't talk about any football team. I don't care if it's UAB Blazers. If they're in here, they're going to say something to you. So everybody in the country I've seen, honestly, everybody in the country is fanatical about college football. And I see it in Oregon, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I know people now from all over the country. And, you know, they love it just as much as we do. And that's what I didn't really realize before I started this radio show. And actually on the message boards is people all over the country are fanatical about their college football, and I really respect that, and I learned a lot from that. I didn't know that, Roger.
Yeah, and this is honestly a reason why NDB Media will not do a college football, basketball, or anything program. It's because of what you're doing right here. Seriously, I know you're in the southeast corner of America, but, number one is respect. And number two, no, we don't have the same passion as all of you guys when it comes to the football stuff. We love our football. We love our college. We love our high school. It's great. Hey, Brian, I'm a baseball guy, and I've called football games for women professional teams, and now we're doing the indoor football league. I never thought I would be doing that. And now we're doing high school football as well. Who in the hell am I, Brian?
I know, right?
I'm doing play-by-play for high school football for women's professional teams. Are you kidding me? And that's because of Blog Talk Radio, and that's because of all the listeners. So if anything, my thanks will always go to you, Brian. It will go to everyone here in this chat room, in my chat room. Blog Talk Radio is awesome, guys. It's what brings us together. We have the same passion. It's awesome. And it's just a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, Brian. This is what I do. I talk and talk and talk.
That's okay, man. I just want everybody to be able to hear you and actually be able to go to your show, because Saturday morning I'm getting together a posse, and we're coming to your chat room Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. So get ready.
You got a debt. Dude, look at the chat room. Lacey Key. Dude, you
love
are dead to me. GTLO.
Lacey loves me. She loves me. She's just mad right now. She'll be back.
Well,
so Roger, I want to thank you for coming on, bud, and and I really appreciate it, and everybody's going to be listening to your show, okay?
I appreciate that, Brian, and it was a lot of fun picking a fight right now with everyone. It's good. I'm going to still remain in the chat room, but, guys, be cool. Be cool, because I have no way of answering now. Brian, thank you, buddy, and I'm still staying in the chat room, so it's all good.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
All right. That was very fun. So I'm serious. Everybody needs to join me Sunday or Saturday morning. We're going to join Roger in his chat room. Trey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
All right. How's that head feeling, man? I know you're having some migraine issues. All right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
So, all right, man. I'm gonna talk more than you tonight, since I know you bailed me out a couple of times when I was a little under the weather. So, starting at number 10, guys, in the college football world, we're not going to go through all these games with a lot of detail, because we're going to save it for a couple of the games that mean the most. Florida State went on the road Thursday night and played Virginia Tech. And this was a game that our co-host Trey said to watch out for, that he thought it would be very close. I laughed at him. I said, look, Florida State's going to kill Virginia Tech. It won't even be close. Guess what? Florida State had to win the game in the last seconds. Trey, I know you were very, very upset at that game towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, Carvin, here's the deal. I mean, this is why you see Florida State being passed by two-lock SEC. I mean, this game speaks for itself. I mean, Virginia Tech is a terrible team, and Florida State had to rally to beat them.
That's what concerns me about Florida State. And you know, and I brought this up a little while ago, people were upset that Florida State was passed in the polls, but like South Carolina, Georgia, Texas A&M, I believe, got up there. What do you say to those people that are mad that Florida State got left by a two-loss SEC team?
Well, I mean, you have to beat the teams that are in your schedule. And we already talked about that Florida State has a very weak schedule this year. And when you don't beat those teams, Harmon, very well, I mean, talking about Virginia Tech, a very weak football team this year, and you go on the road on a Thursday night and you play that week, you have to win the last second. I mean, that doesn't say that you're a top 10 team. You have to go on the road and kill Virginia Tech. I mean, that game, Tarvin, speaks volumes of the team that Florida State's put together this year.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, the thing that frustrates me about Florida State is, as I started drinking the Kool-Aid earlier in the season, you know, when they beat Clemson and they were beating the bad teams, they were beating the crap out of these teams. It was like the Florida State of, you know, the last few years where they were barely escaping. And then they go to NC State, a team that Tennessee demolished, and they lose. And I don't care if it's on the road or not. Florida State had no business losing that game. And then after watching them play Thursday night, that's why the pollsters dropped them.
Oh, absolutely, Tarvin, absolutely.
Okay, but look at this game. I mean, I wasn't surprised Florida State won. I was very surprised at the way, you know, it ended up. I mean, I was kind of hoping Florida State would lose as bad as they played. But, you know, I was kind of wanting Jimbo Fisher to come to Auburn, honestly. And now after watching him the last few weeks, I'm not very interested in that anymore. So I'm going to take us to number 9, Trey, and Penn State, Nebraska. Nebraska, again, they started out looking terrible. I mean, these guys were down, 20-6 at halftime to Penn State. They pull it out 32-23. But Trey, tell me, Taylor Martinez, what do you think about him in this game?
Well, I mean, what a great comeback, Carver. What a great second half victory for Taylor Martinez in this game.
Yeah, and I'm just sick of Nebraska. But did you see Bo Pelini, the head coach, the player got up in his face when he was talking to him? Did you get to see that by any chance?
I didn't see that, Tarvin.
Yeah, I saw that. It just, Nebraska seems like a team to me that they don't have a lot of respect for him, and I think that's a lot of the problem with Nebraska. I just think for some reason these players haven't bought into him, and that's why you see, anytime you see a team inconsistent all the time and not very physical, making mistakes, I think that's exactly what that means. And I could be wrong. I could be definitely wrong, but I think Nebraska needs to find them a new head coach, because I honestly don't think he's the fit at Nebraska to get accomplished what they desire. If Nebraska is going to get back to Nebraska football, they're going to have to get a proven winner at head coach.
Well, I think you want to see from Bo Pelini. I think if you're a Nebraska fan, you want to give him at least a shot to win. I mean, this year with the Big Ten, and Jason Minson talked about it so clearly, you know, if Nebraska can't make a move this year in the Big Ten, and with Taylor Martinez as a senior quarterback, then maybe you're right with Bo Pelini.
All right. Well, we're going to go on to number 8 real quick, and trust me, we're not going to spend long on this game. Georgia, Auburn, 38-0. Enough said, right, Trey?
I mean, it wasn't a game. It was a game that kicked off. That was it.
Well, a lot of Auburn fans were giving me crap for picking Georgia to win. That's why I picked Georgia, is because Auburn can't score right now. The defense has quit. They're not playing the way they're supposed to play. And I got a little distracted. They're playing terrible. They're not playing for Chizik right now. And I just don't know what else to say, Trey. I'm very disappointed.
Well, I mean, I think the team has given up. I think you're right. I don't see much at this point that Auburn's playing for. There's not much to say. Georgia did. I thought this was going to be a closer game. I was wrong. Georgia went out and handled their business. So, we'll see what happens with Georgia. Now they're going to the title game to face Alabama. So we'll have to see what happens with that game and whether Georgia and Mark Richt finally live up to some expectations.
Yep, Chizik's gone at Auburn. You won't see him around much longer. The team has quit, and it's just a matter of time. I mean, I'm surprised it's taken them this long. I would just honestly go ahead and remove him as coach and probably everybody else in there, because it's looking very bad, and it's not going to get better with him at helm. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to look in the chat room and see what everybody's saying. Drew Hopper said Chizik should quit. I have to agree with him. Let's go on to number 7 right quick. I'm going to try to find it. Sorry.
It was the Northwestern Michigan game for him.
Well, that was a good game, man. I watched that game, and, Michigan without Denard Robinson, very surprised that they had to come back at the end of the game to throw a bomb down the field to get tipped up and caught by the receiver to kick the field goal to send it into overtime. So a lot of people were picking Northwestern to win this game. I picked Michigan to win, but I was sweating it out at the end, Trey.
You and me both. I was shocked this game was as close as it was going into the final. This game went into overtime, actually. So, this game, Michigan ended up pulling it out. But, I think Jason Minson's right. I mean, why is Michigan ranked having to beat Northwestern in overtime? Granted, Michigan won, but, didn't impress me, and I don't think they should be ranked.
Yeah, I don't want to talk a lot about this game, but Michigan's terrible, just like Northwestern. So it was an entertaining game to watch, honestly. It was just – very impressed that Michigan came back and won that game. Teams sometimes, it's the coaching. When you come back and win games like that, I think it has a lot to do with the coaches there in Michigan. I don't think it's too much longer that Michigan will be down to this level. I think they'll get better and better. And I look at that quarterback. He looks better than Denard Robinson, in my opinion. So the future looks bright for them. So take us to the next one, Trey.
Yeah, I agree with you on the quarterback behind John Robinson. Next one, Tarvin, Arkansas, South Carolina. South Carolina won this game, kind of pulled away from Arkansas, and, obviously South Carolina looks pretty good.
Yeah, Arkansas, though, they fought them tough for a quarter or so, and then it was just a matter of time before, South Carolina wore them down. Arkansas is not very deep, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and they don't have a lot to play for, so you add that up, it spells a recipe for getting beat on the road. So South Carolina looked good. I mean, they're a very good team. They're 2 losses. They're not a great team. They're not a top 5 team by no means, but they're a good, top 15 team, I think South Carolina is right now.
Yeah, without Lattimore, this is not an elite team anymore. But, this is a a top 10 team. They're not going to be a BCS type of team, but good win for them, which sort of takes us to our next game. See, the top 10 teams are top teams. Were you impressed with Notre Dame's win over Boston College on the road?
I mean, Notre Dame's sick, man. I mean, like, that was the ugliest game I've ever seen. And when you almost lose to Pittsburgh in your backyard and to follow it up with a 21-16 game over a team you should have beat by 40, I've got a lot of concerns about Notre Dame right now. No, they're not the number three team in the country. No, if they go undefeated, should they make it if a one-loss SEC team's out there? No. I think Notre Dame's very overrated. The schedule looked tough at the first of the season, Trey. But as the season going on, we see now why Notre Dame's winning these games. The majority of their games are against Big Ten opponents for the most part, and they're barely getting by.
Well, I mean, this is against a very, very bad ACC team. Not an impressive win at all. They didn't look good anywhere near or close to even looking good in this game. They played terrible, and they looked bad. Notre Dame, again, you know, won a bad-looking game. Defense didn't look all that great, to be quite honest with you. I mean, Boston College moved the ball at times and just didn't score when they had the opportunity to score. So, I mean, this, you know, again, Notre Dame, you know, got by with a win, but you're not impressed with it at all, Thurman.
Yeah, and if I'm Notre Dame fans, I'm just hoping that I get left out of the championship game, because could you imagine Notre Dame playing Oregon right now? How bad that would be.
Well, what might be scarier for Notre Dame is if everyone goes undefeated and, you know, Kansas State plays Oregon, is Notre Dame playing Alabama? Is that, you know, that could happen. Is Notre Dame plays Alabama, because Alabama is going to make them put the BCS, obviously. You know, and so Notre Dame is going to get destroyed one way or the other. So, you know, whether it be in the non-national championship game, maybe, I don't know. So for Notre Dame, the outcome might not be good.
Exactly. And I'm going to bring on 256 area code, and I apologize. I didn't see you on hold for 9 minutes. So you're on Way In Sports 558. Who is this?
This is Stone Cold.
Stone Cold, what's up, bud?
What are you doing, man? I got in late here. I missed out on some of it.
Well, we talked about how good Auburn was and talked about Tennessee, how good they was, but that's it, man.
Yeah, go Derek Dooley. Way to go.
Well, Trey, you know Shane, right?
Oh, of course, Shane needs to stop beating me in fantasy sports. That's what Shane needs to stop doing.
What did I tell you about that average Alabama defense this weekend?
Well, Trey, I got to tell y'all this, and I was talking to Shane yesterday, probably about noon, as we always do on Saturdays, and he was telling me that Alabama, you know, defense, in his opinion, was probably fourth in the SEC. And when I was talking to him, I said, well, I think Alabama had the number one defense in the SEC. So we were arguing about it. And looking at that game yesterday and just seeing the way Texas A&M moved, it's just like you, Shane, to win an argument over me the day it happens. But I have to admit that yesterday you were right. I don't know about for an entire season if you're right, but tell me why you think that.
Well, before the LSU game, Alabama had not really played anybody that was really good. Now, they were right preseason ranked, like Michigan started out 8th, Arkansas started out 7th. We found out both of those teams was way too highly ranked. Mississippi State, you know, they were undefeated. They had been moving up the polls, but obviously they're going to finish the season probably 3 or 4 losses. The best offense that Alabama faced was Tennessee, and their team is definitely, I mean, their offense now is good, and I'm not knocking Tennessee's offense, and Bama played well against them. Tennessee is the only offense, though, that Bama had played up to A&M that was ranked in, like, the top 50, you know, nationally. So we didn't really know how good their defense was until they got on the field with A&M, and I really thought that you would see how they could be exploited when they played a good offense. And that's exactly what I saw. And And I'm good friends with one of the coaches at Alabama. And I asked him before the LSU game, I said, tell me, you know, everybody's on the Bama bandwagon. They're great. It's them number one. Everybody else is, you know, in a different league. I said, tell me, how good are y'all? And he said, well, we don't know yet. He said, we'll start to know how good we are after the next couple of games. He said, we've been the benefactor of a soft schedule, even though at the first of the year it looked like it was going to be a strong schedule. It ended up not being that strong of a schedule because we've seen the way the season has played out. And so I think they really, you know, I hate the fact that they lost, though, because I was really, obviously, you know, I wanted to see an Oregon-Bama national championship. I really felt that was about how that game was going to go. I could have saw A&M hanging more points on them than what they did.
Wow, more points. I mean, see, I thought yesterday in that game, and we'll talk about it later for sure, but I really thought that Alabama would control the game on both sides of the ball. I thought they would shut down Johnny Football, the one that runs a 4-1 backward 40, and I really thought they would be able to run the ball, but I was surprised that they put up that many points on Alabama, and I still am surprised that they lost the game. I never saw that coming, Shane.
Well, A&M was trying to stop the run, and Bama wasn't going away from the run early in the game. I really don't understand some of Bama's play calling later in the game. Now, they did hit a couple of big pass plays. They get down close to the goal line. They decide they want to throw the ball a couple of times. I don't really understand that, but, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, one thing I didn't fully answer that you asked me was why I thought they were the third or fourth. I know you said fourth. I think you can make an argument that they're better than South Carolina's defense, but I really feel like LSU and Florida are the two best defenses in the conference. And the reason I say that, it's not just from a numbers standpoint. I think you can take numbers out of context and they get misconstrued a little bit, but you have to look at how piss poor Florida's offense has been all year long. I think everybody would agree they're probably in the bottom three in offense for the SEC, but yet their defense is still right there ranked fifth nationally. I mean, their offense is probably nationally somewhere, I know it's not in the top 100. I mean, that with them being that bad, you know, their time of possession stayed fairly well because they ran it every play. So they were getting their time of possession stayed better than what you think it would be. But their offense was so terrible, their defense was still on the field having to be in bad situations and make plays. And, you know, Bama played solid on both sides of the ball. They don't make mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. You know, this was the first time we really saw Bama turn the ball over. They're putting their defense in good situations. Florida doesn't do that. And then LSU, the same situation. LSU, you know, they've had a couple of games where they really done well on offense, but for the season as a whole, right, their offense has struggled. They've had, you know, not consistent play at all from the quarterback, and it's put their defense in bad situations, and their defense has risen to the occasion. If I had to choose a defense that I wanted to coach on my team in the national championship, Bama would definitely not be chosen on my defense ahead of Florida or LSU, and I think several people might even make an argument that they would choose South Carolina over Bama. And I think you'll see Georgia possibly exploit Bama also in the SEC championship. Now, I think Bama's going to win that game, but I really think Georgia's going to put up some numbers on them.
Really? That's interesting to see. I mean, I think Alabama would be a 9-point favorite over Georgia, and that game's really a home field for Georgia in the Georgia Dome. So I don't agree with – I mean, I see your argument about the numbers and everything and the offenses and being piss poor. I like that, by the way. But Alabama's defense is so good that it makes you work for every yard. Usually, that's a Nick Saban defense, and I know you told me that Saban, this is actually the worst defense that he's ever had at Alabama.
Well, it is. I mean, you've got a few key players on that defense, but usually, in the past 3-4 years, Bama's had 2 to 4 first rounders on defense. I can see D. Milner going in the first round. That's probably it. Now, I mean, you've got 2 or 3 key players out there definitely on defense, but it's not the same. You know, they're more of everybody's kind of got to be in the right place. They're working good this year as a unit. I don't think it's just outstanding play from key players. Like, if they need that big-time pass rusher, I don't think they have that.
Yeah. It's all interesting, you know, everything. But, man, I want to thank you for taking the time to give us a call, Shane. And we'll be talking to you very soon. Tino, you're up next, man. What's up?
Man, what's going on, man? That dude right there talked forever, man. What was he talking about?
I was talking about Alabama's defense being the fourth best in the SEC.
Yeah, that dude's crazy, man. He's smoking that grass that the other dude was smoking earlier. What's going on, guys? Y'all doing all right?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Not much, man. I was at the Auburn game this weekend, man. I got to chill with a couple of players after the game, a couple of my buddies, man, and, you know, heard some things going on with the team, man. It was a fight last week. I can't mention the players, but it was a fight. Trooper Taylor tried to break it up, but it was too bad for him to even break up. They had to call more coaches over there just to break the fight up, man. The players have been fighting each other for weeks consecutively, man, just going at each other. And if you watch the game, which I sat four rows behind the team, you could tell that our whole team is diversified, man. I mean, they got little cliques that they hang out with. They're together. Nobody's cheering for each other. Nobody's pulling for each other. You make a good play, you come to the sideline, you sit down. There's no celebration or anything. It's just that, you know, I'm a Chizik fan. He's a good dude. But, man, as far as Auburn goes, man, he's got to go. LaFleur, whatever his name, the offensive coordinator was the worst hire in Auburn history, man. That's where a lot of things came from. When you recruit players to fit a scheme or to fit a system, and then you change that system, what are you really doing? You know, it's like going out buying a PlayStation 3 for Christmas for your kids, but you buy them all Xbox 360 games. It's not going to benefit them no kind of way. And, you know, what I'm getting to, my point is that they got kids in the system that are good players, but they don't fit our system, man. And it's crazy, man.
Well, also, look, I blame the players, too. Coaches are to blame, don't get me wrong. But if you're out there in cliques and you're not cheering for anybody, I have to blame that on you as a player. So I think coaches get a lot of blame out there right now. Chizik is not doing a good job. He's lost control, and he's made some questionable hires. But I question the players, too, the heart of the players. I don't care who's your coach, if you believe him or not. You get out there and you play hard for your team, your teammates. So Auburn's toughness is something that makes me sick. The players all make me sick right now. The coaches do. I love Auburn and I always will, but I can't put this all on Chizik. I put this on the heart of his recruits.
Let me reiterate on what you're saying right there, and I want Trey to listen up. Trey, when you get out of the bathroom, I want you to understand what's going on right here. What I'm getting to is that you're saying you're not blaming the, you know, you don't, it's the players. These kids are between the ages of 18 and 21. You've got kids on this team that don't know where they're going in life. When you was 18 or 21, Tarvino, I guarantee you was wide open doing what you wanted to do, and you had no logistics. You had no direction on where you wanted to go, and you were influenced so easily. You're 18, 19, 21 years old, and you got people on Facebook bashing you every day, bashing your team every day. These kids are lost right now. They don't have a direction. So, therefore, if you don't want to point the main finger at the coaches, then you're pointing the finger at the wrong person, man. You can't blame the kids for everything. Right now, if your kid goes and he's instigated in school, the bully system, the kids are being bullied by the media, man. I mean, I understand I'm all in for Auburn all day, every day. But I'm not going to allow you to say that my players on my team got to be blamed for everything. Now, they do got to take some of the blame.
No, they don't. No, I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth. I said Chizik can't take all the blame. You don't ever hear about the players. The fact that the players are sitting over there sucking their thumbs touting,
that pisses
me off. I'm a grown man, and I coach, and I do it. I would get up there and pistol whip every player on that team. And tell him to get his ass up and play, or he'll deal with me. That's what I'm tired of. We have pussy in the coaching position, and the players are the same. It's time to bring somebody in that can change it, Tino.
Physics
not the problem. It's the players, too. They're all to blame. But everybody's talking about fire Chizik. He sucks. Well, the players
suck,
too.
Chizik don't
suck, too.
Yeah. But one thing about it, though, Tarvin, you know, and Trey and the whole chat room or whatever, when y'all had that one teacher in school and you got away with a little bit in that class. You pushed and pushed, and you would get away with more and more and more, especially if you were a clown like Sonya. I can imagine that Sonya would go further and further with that teacher than anybody else. And then once Sonya went that far, then you know Tino's going to go that far. These kids have took Gene Chizik to the – I guarantee Gene Chizik wants to leave Auburn. I guarantee that dude ain't sleeping at night, man. It's that he's the one to the edge where these kids are not listening to him. He's not a mean guy. And it's to the limit, man. They push him – I guarantee that dude wants to leave Auburn.
Yeah, he does, and I can't blame him. But, Tino, man, I appreciate the call, buddy. And you know, Trey, what do you think about that real quick before we move on?
Well, I think Tino's got a point. I mean, I think it's obvious the players are lost and that the program is basically combating itself. I mean, you do see it on the sidelines. You see it in the fact that no one seems to care what's going on in the game. But, you know, you saw it, to be honest, the signs were on the wall before the season started with players getting kicked off the team, players getting in trouble. Those were all the signs of a program that was in disarray before the season started. We just didn't see it. I mean, no one was able to predict it. No one was able to see this is where it was going because, you know, those are also the signs that a program is just going through some of the preseason type stuff. But in this case, it was Harv. In this case, it was the signs of a program that was imploding. So,
well,
you know, this is...
I blame him too, Trey. I'm not saying I don't, but what I'm saying is I question the character of a kid. He's a grown young man, you know, he should know he's a great athlete. He's recruited in. He's getting a full ride to college, a chance to play in the SEC. And if you're sitting over there not giving 100% effort, I have to blame you. I can't just blame Chizik because Chizik, all he can do is teach you what to do. He can't go out there and play. And even if you haven't bought into something, you still should play hard for that team. I think it's just chaos at Auburn right now, and I think they will work it out. But right now, the coaches and players, they need a gut check. They need a change. But I have to blame players in this instance too, because all the time we hear the coach needs to be fired, blah, blah, blah. That's true. But you have to play with heart. You have to play for your man sitting right beside you on the line or protect your quarterback, whether you like Chizik or not. Whether you agree with him or disagree, you're out there to play hard, and I don't see that. I haven't seen that since the LSU game, and you're not going to see it even against Alabama, which is sad. You know, biggest rival of the year, these guys are going to go out, and they're going to get knocked around, and it's just going to be the same thing. So the season can't get here to the end fast enough. But, Trey, let's move on to the next game. Thanks, Tino, for the call, as always. We're just running out of time. We have to keep it moving. South Carolina, where we at? Mississippi State, LSU.
Yeah, LSU
at home. We all wondered what would happen to them after that emotional loss. Honestly, LSU didn't look good to me, Trey. They didn't look good at all. They got a pick six at the end of the game to win by 20, but we're impressed with LSU. I can't say I was, Trey, honestly, looking at it.
No, I mean, to be honest, coming off the LSU-Alabama game, both teams look lethargic, and I can't say that I'm surprised by either outcome, Tarvin. I mean, I don't think it's any lesson of an LSU team, but, you know, LSU played their hearts out and got their throats slashed at the end of the Alabama game, so I expected them to come out flat against this Mississippi State game. They still won by 20, Tarvin, so they still won handedly, but, you know, for them to even play that well against Mississippi State, I'm impressed.
Yeah, and Tino, before we go, I wasn't mad at Tino or anything. I just want people to know I'm passionate about my team as well. And when I see fans sitting with bags over their head and stuff in the game, I'm just pissed off about all of that. So Tino, thanks for the call, buddy. LSU, Trey. Not very impressed. It looks like a team. You know, LSU knows they don't have really anything else to play for. And I want to ask you something, Trey. If LSU wins two games or loses two games for the rest of the year, A&M loses two games, who's the most attractive BCS fit right now to play in a BCS game?
I think with the way the season ends out, it's A&M just because of the way they finish the season.
Yep.
I mean, just because you finish strong and you finish with hype, it would be A&M.
Yeah, but I went all Saban. Everybody saying in the chat room here a minute ago, like Saban does in his interviews. but I agree, Trey. Texas A&M. right now. Could you imagine the story? You have Johnny Football, a freshman, Texas A&M, a new team coming into the league, beating Alabama. So it's a feel-good story. And the thing that concerns me as an SEC person, my team's in the SEC, is Johnny Football is going to be around for at least 2 more years after this. So, Trey, my question, two questions. Does Johnny Heisman win a Heisman, and does he win a national championship while he's at A&M?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to recruit pretty well now with building around him at Texas A&M and building around the fact that Texas is weaker. You're going to see probably Texas A&M recruit pretty well, Tarvin. I mean, how well do you think Texas A&M is going to recruit in Texas now with Texas A&M being in the SEC and Texas being down?
Man, I think Texas A&M, the sky's the limit for them recruiting. And I do think, you know, looking at their coach, looking at their system, it's just more attractive than playing at Texas right now because you get to play in the SEC and you get to play for someone that knows how to score points, and he's just exciting. I mean, I love to see Texas A&M. I predicted them to win 4 or 5 games this year, and they've really impressed me, the fact that a freshman has come into this league and has played well against every team. You know, he struggled a little bit against Florida and LSU and Alabama at times he struggled, but imagine how much better he's going to get in the next 2 years with people coming. Like you said, they're building around him. So defensive players want to come play for Johnny Football. Anybody wants to come play for these guys. So I think Texas A&M starts winning the recruiting battle in Texas.
Yeah, I think that's a very likely. I mean, they're a head coach, a lot of buzz. You know, other schools in the region which aren't killing it. And, you know, the A&M now, which has the SEC buzz.
Yeah, and it's just Johnny Football, man. I'm very impressed with what he's done so far. And let's move us on to the next one.
Now, Tarvin, though, the Kansas State, upset alert, not so much, Tarvin, not so much. We missed this one.
We missed it, but, you know, I've been picking against them all year long, and this was a night game on the road. TCU, the one thing about them that made me regret my pick was their defense, but they did play well last night. Klein's just too much for them right now. You know, looking at him, he's the leader of that team. He's the leader of that conference. And, you know, he's their only shot to win a championship. So now let's see how they play, Trey, with that number one on their chest, that bullseye, that target that Alabama's played with all year. How does Kansas State respond? At Baylor in a night game this week, and then they have to play Texas. So tell me right now, Trey, does Kansas State go all the way and get to that game?
Well, you know, I'm not so concerned with the Baylor game, even though it is a night game. I'll tell you, the Texas game coming up, Tarvin, that one's the one I got circled on the calendar. I think that one could be problematic.
Yeah, and Kansas State's just that team. I think, you know, Texas has the athletes on the defensive side of the ball to actually – to box him in and make him beat him throwing. And that's something I know people say that he's gotten better, and he has, but I just don't know if he can do it against Texas. Even if it's at home, Trey, I think Texas is getting better every week. So perfect timing. Mac Brown's guys are getting inspired, maybe to save his job if they beat Kansas State, you think?
Oh, yeah. He picked down the number one team in the country. I think Texas fans are going to be just fine.
Exactly. And I want to hurry and speed through this so we can talk about Bama more. So move us on.
Well, the Stanford game. You know, people gave me hate about picking Stanford. Remember, I was on my own island, but Stanford took it out. So what do you think about me and my island now, Tarvin?
I don't know. I'm not very impressed with Stanford either. And I really don't think they have a shot to beat Oregon. So that's really all I want to talk about then.
All right, well, move us on, Tarvin. I'm going to give you some time, and I want some calls. I'd like to hear from some Bama fans and what they thought about the Alabama-Texas A&M game.
All right. Well, yeah, call in. Let me know in the chat room if you want to call in, if you're calling in right now. Man, what a game. You know, Trace, to start off 21-0 real quick, I mean, or 20-0, I was real shocked at that. To see, you know, when Alabama cut it to 20-14, I thought, okay, if they stop A&M in that third quarter, the first drive, and come down and score a touchdown, it's on. But it didn't happen that way. And very impressed with A&M's resiliency. I mean, there were several times Alabama got down there, you know, going to score, and they A&M held on and played resilient. And I'm going to bring Tanya on real quick, give her her fame right here since her, it's her Bama team that lost. She wants to come on and say a few words. What's going on, Tanya?
What's up, Pleady?
Nothing much. Just having
How are
a great
you guys?
Show. Oh, good.
Everything good? How are you, Trey?
Can't complain. Trey, can't complain.
Well, we have to give big props to Texas A&M. They came and they handled their business. Johnny Football, and I really wish they would give this child a new nickname, but he came in, he handled his business. You know, they outplayed my boys, and that's just the way it is. The good game, great game, fought all the way to the end. It was up and down, back and forth, but I have to say it was between last week and this week. Those were probably the two best games I've seen all season.
Yeah, they were. And you know, Alabama last week, you know, to come off an emotional win on the road like that and to have to come back and play a team that was hot. Texas A&M is probably the hottest team in the country right now, one of them. And to have to come back with all that emotion and play a team, get down 20-0, I was impressed with Alabama coming back, actually, in that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like you can't – I always say when I post on my page on Saturdays that you can't count Bama out and you cannot give up and concede until that clock reads 0-0. And when the clock reads 0-0, when the clock read 0-0, hey, Texas A&M was on top. Got to give them their props for that. But one thing I do want to address, though, is, you know, all of we have those, what do we call them, Tarvin, the SEC haters, the ones that just cannot stand the SEC or SEC teams. And they're all rejoicing and celebrating, and it's like, oh, you know, the SEC's out of the national championship race. To sit here and say that I had to pull out a Lee Corso, not so fast. You know, there's plenty of football left to be played, and, you know, should Bama get there, awesome. Should they not, they've still had an awesome season. They still can hold their heads up. You know, we support our boys. We rep them. And the one thing about it is they've been number one, and Texas A&M did something that no other team has done, and that was to beat Bama. So they get big props for that, but I also give extremely big props to my boys because they held it down. They did, you know, they did their best, but it was just meant to be. But it's not the end of the season. It's not the end of their season. We've got, let's see who we have next week, baby. Yeah, and then we've got Auburn after that, you know, probably see UGA. But another thing I do want to bring up, too, is, and this is not specifically for Bama fans, but fans in general, there was so much celebrating, you know, finally because number one went down, which is understandable. But one thing that people should not be doing, if you have any class about yourself, is do not use racial slurs about any team, whether it be Bama, Texas A&M, or whatever. And some of the stuff that I saw in some of the groups last night, just some of these people need to be ashamed of themselves. There's a way to celebrate, and there's a way to celebrate if you, whether you were for Bama or whether you're a Texas A&M fan. But one thing you don't do is you do not denigrate and you do not use racial slurs against Texas A&M's coach or any of the players. That's just wrong.
Yeah, I agree, and I read that as well. And you know, Sonia, you know, when you said not so fast, and people forget, even myself, we try to predict these games, but we know what we're doing. And when it comes November, you do not know who's going to win anything because it's so tight, the pressure's intense, and these teams are getting better week to week. You know, some of these teams that struggled, like Texas, now are playing a lot better. So who's to say that Kansas State, Oregon, and Notre Dame won't all lose?
Exactly. None of us have a crystal ball, and we don't know what's, you know, we don't know who's going to win. There, one thing that people also need to remember is, you know, last season, Bama lost to LSU, and it was the same talk. Guess who won the national championship? Bama. So there's, and we've seen it this season. There's teams that you're like, oh, they're going to beat them, and then they turn around and pull the upset. And what people also need to realize is in certain games, especially rivalry games, I don't care how bad a certain team's season was, and the best example of that is USC. USC, that's South Carolina, not Southern California, but USC was getting all of these props, you know, for beating Georgia. It was just like, just, oh, USC's the real deal, and they're this and they're that. That's a very intense rivalry. What have they done after that? It's totally, it's a different ball game. So when it's an intense rivalry, you can't sit here and just say because one team is, you know, so much higher or so much better than another team that they're automatically going to win. Any team on any day can be beat. There's not one team out there that's unbeatable.
Nope, there's not. And it's just, I mean, it's so hard to predict these games. And, you know, early in the season, through up to the last few weeks, I've been just nailing these games right on. But now, I mean, Vegas has these games so tight. They know, you know, it gets down to the nitty-gritty. And, you know, I've seen some crazy things, Trey, and something happen in November when I've seen, you know, the number one and two teams lose in the same day when they were, one team was like a 30-point favorite and the other, Oklahoma, was like a 28-point favorite or something like that. So you never know what can happen. Just like you said, the rival, the backyard brawl, Pittsburgh, West Virginia. Pittsburgh sucked that year, but yet they came in, went to Morgantown, and beat these guys. So I don't know who's going to make it, Trey. I have no clue who's going to be playing in that championship, but I am excited to see who it's going to be, though.
Oh, yeah, I mean, same here. And so just a, you know, a shout-out again, big props, much respect to Texas A&M, their fans. It was just really awesome to see, just to see, we talked about this at the beginning of the season, you know, which team would come in and have the best impact. Would it be Texas A&M or Mizzou? And Texas A&M has come in, they're making a name for themselves. You know, you got to give them props for that. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to bring, and I think that was the start of a great rivalry last night, too. That's going to be a new one coming into the conference. Right.
It was, and Sonia, thanks for the input, and we will see you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. So thanks for the call, Trey. Anything in closing before we go?
No, just one last thing, Carvin. I'll say this: there's three games left, and that if you're, those big three teams that we're talking about who are still undefeated, that are not, that you can't look past. I mean, you know, Oregon State. You know, I mean that game. You can't look past that game. USC, Notre Dame, you can't look past that game. And then, you know, oh, by the way, Kansas State, Texas. So, Tarvin, nothing is solidified in the national championship game. And there's no way you can say the SEC is not going to be in that national championship game yet.
No, it's way too early, man. And the teams that are still there, real quick, are teams that, besides Oregon, really, you know, that they've never been in a championship or played in the championships in a long time. Notre Dame hasn't been relevant. Kansas State, the last time they were there, Big 12, they choked to Texas A&M in overtime. So I want to see, the question is, how are these guys going to play with the bullseye and the pressure now? So if you're better than the SEC, well, prove it. Do it right now. The SEC beat the SEC. So if you want to be better, then you're going to have to prove it on the field. And I think a lot is going to happen, trust me, Trey, in the next few weeks to determine this. And let me shout out to Jason Minson for the Gophers, Trey. The Gophers are bowl eligible. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I do believe it, yeah.
The Gophers, Jason, congratulations, man. I wish I was bowl eligible with you. So the Gophers, man, they have a chance to upset some teams here at the end of the year. Just congratulations to them. But, Trey, I don't even want to pick who's going to win the national championship right now. It's so intense now. It's going to be close. It could be somebody we don't even expect make it. But do not buy into the Notre Dame hype, everybody. They're not a championship-caliber team. All it's going to take is Kansas State to lose or Oregon. And I'll tell you this, and I'll say it on air. If Notre Dame runs the table and Kansas State or Oregon lose, I think a one-loss Bama or Georgia that's an SEC champion will jump Notre Dame. You might call me crazy, but I'm telling you, they don't want to see Notre Dame in that championship game right now. And, Trey, everybody, thanks for the listen tonight. Thanks, Roger, for joining us as our guest. We are running out of time. We have Wednesday 9 p.m. Eastern. Get ready for a big show. I'm sorry I was a little sidetracked this last hour. I had a lot going on the side. So, Trey, I apologize for that, anybody out there. So thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. And be with us Wednesday night. We're going to have a great show as usual, and we need all of you in attendance. So until then, we'll see you Wednesday night, Trey. Happy Veterans Day, bud.
Bye-bye.
All right, see y'all.